Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
I have a show and tell for everybody. And there are a couple of things that begin in the fall, right? One of them is school. And this person is not dressed for going to school, so he must be getting ready or currently engaging in the other thing that happens in the fall, right? There are only two things. So, why is he dressed like that?
Halloween.
Halloween, Bruce says. And that guy behind him is going to take all his candy. You're right, he is here for football. Now, why does he wear all of that stuff when he gets ready to go play football? For protection. Now, I don't need that kind of protection, right? When I'm not playing football. So what goes on during football that means that he needs like a helmet and pads and like pads and more pads and special shoes and pads? Tackling. Yeah, people are going to like aggressively come and knock him over, right? And it's not because they don't like him, right? Those two people, the guy behind him trying to take his Halloween candy and the guy with the Halloween candy tucked under his arm, like they might be really good friends in real life, right? But while they're playing football, the rules are such that you run up and you knock somebody down. And so this guy, I'm sure, does not wear this same gear at home or, you know, in a restaurant. And if he were playing, you know, hockey, he would wear different equipment, or baseball, or going to the grocery store, right? There's different equipment for different activities based on what we expect to face in whatever context we're going into. So think about some of the ways that you prepare yourself for different settings and contexts that you go into, different activities that you prepare for. Think about the equipment that you need for going to school. It's not this equipment, it's different equipment, right? Or think about the equipment that you need for going to work or for golfing, if that's your job now. Think about the different equipment that you need. What equipment do you need to offer medical care? What equipment do you need to lend a sympathetic ear to someone? What equipment do you need to help somebody move or to speak to someone with power on someone else's behalf? Our scripture reading is going to have this metaphor of equipment today. It's going to specifically talk about military equipment. It's going to talk about armor. But it's going to be asking us the question, what do we need? How do we need to prepare ourselves in order to live by the Spirit's power in the world, in order to be safe, but especially to be faithful? Will you join me in a prayer for illumination? Spirit of God, descend upon our hearts. Be poured out on us all and fill us with prophecies, visions, and dreams of the world made new. Teach us to love you and love our neighbors as we ought to love. Amen. The scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We sing, "I'll Fly Away," because we know that the world as we know it is not the heaven that God intends. And we pray that that heaven comes to earth, that God's kingdom comes here on earth. But we know that it hasn't fully arrived yet. And so we don't only wait to be snatched away up there, but we also practice how to live faithfully here in the world as it is. We practice living by the power of the Spirit, as Ramona talked to us last week. And that's part of why we pray so earnestly, among other things, for kids who are heading back to school this week. Heading back to school in the midst, as we know, of pressures that grown-ups grew up with and many pressures that grown-ups did not grow up with, things that we have not faced in that situation. And so we prepare kids for school with backpacks and notebooks and calculators, and we prepare them with masks and tornado drills and lockdown and emergency evacuation drills. Kids, as they go to school, as they go through life, face big questions about this pandemic, about the health and well-being of the climate, about human justice, questions about the future. Not to mention those everyday questions about friends and activities and self-identity. It's a lot. Wherever you stand on any one of the many issues that we might talk about when we are discussing what's going on in our world today, you know that kids feel the uncertainty and the conflict of our world as well. And they feel that uncertainty and that conflict because of the way that the world is set up, not just because of any one person or group's individual choices. The world doesn't only make sense of issues as simply good ideas or bad ideas. We could wish that it does, but the world thinks about ideas in a different way. We tend to identify individual people with their position on whichever issue we are discussing. We tend to identify groups against each other. And so if you are part of one group or you have one idea, you cannot be part of some other group or have some other idea or even see the merit in it or even see the humanity in the people that you may be discussing with. Which is not to say that right and wrong don't exist, of course. The way that we treat each other matters. It matters deeply. How we build the future of this world matters. But it's like the world and the way that we discuss these things. It's like the world is set up to keep us from finding good answers to the shared problems that we face because we are too busy fighting against each other and fighting against each other's ideas and identities. And it's tempting. It's tempting even right now for me to blame some single contemporary group for this, always to blame somebody else's group for this, never my own, of course. My group and all of the ways that I am are perfect. It's always somebody else's group, right? That's the temptation. But the dynamic goes a lot deeper than that. The dynamic goes a lot deeper than just today's history. Today's history is a face of that dynamic. And so we turn to Scripture, listening to the final reading of these several weeks that we have spent with the letter to the church in Ephesus. This letter was written to the early church in a cultural world that was also defined by division between groups and identities. And it began with this amazing, lofty language about this profound cosmic reality that in Christ, God has healed every division, that God has reconciled the world. God has healed divisions between humans and God and between humans and each other. And then we came down to earth. We came down to earth recognizing that that cosmic Christ is spiritually present right here in the human church, and that we somehow embody unity in a world that is marked by division. And that unity calls us to a specific, distinctive way of life. Our life, by the power of the Spirit, addresses division and transforms the world toward true unity. But we know that life in that Spirit is not consistent with the world the way the world is. And today we come face to face with that problem, the problem of this conflict between the way we are called to live and the way the world leads us to live. And we come face to face with that spiritual conflict using this image of this armored infantryman and all of the different equipment that he would carry and wear into battle. But our author reminds us that we are not wearing that in order to defend ourselves against bad people. Our struggle, he says, our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We're called out of these individual face-to-face encounters to remember that what we are actually doing is navigating in a world that is set up to keep undermining our spiritual well-being, to keep undermining the kingdom of God as it is coming into this world. And so we don't literally go out armed and armored. Our enemies are not specific people in this world. Our enemies are those powers that undermine faithfulness. This is a metaphor. If you haven't gone back to school yet this week, you'll learn about metaphors later, I'm sure. This is a metaphor. These threats are not some identifiable group of people, and we have to get that part right because the way that we equip ourselves points to the world that we will create through our actions in the world. If we act like individual people are the most important threat that we face, we will continue to create new threats as we encounter those individual people. So if we go into a difficult conversation wearing like emotional body armor and carrying whatever passes for a deadly weapon in that context, we can expect that we will wound and probably be wounded at the same time. If we prepare for a meeting with really killer arguments for our position and attacks on our opponent's character, well, we will create opposition where there may not have been opposition in the first place. But if we go into our day with truth, with righteousness, with peace, with faith and salvation and the Word of God, we are more likely to see a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. My colleague, the Reverend Emmy Kegler in North Minneapolis, suggests that we just change this metaphor entirely. What if instead of violence, we used a metaphor that centers servanthood? Maybe the passage would read more like this: "Fasten a back brace around your waist and put on an old work shirt. For shoes, take whatever steel-toed boots will lay the foundation of peace. Put on the sunscreen of faith, which will quench the sun's flames as you do this work. Take the sweatband of salvation and the spade of God's word." Or maybe tie the belt of your belovedness around your waist. Protect your heart with justice. Your shoes should sparkle with good news and peace to all. Others will sling poison at you. Remember who and whose you are and trust in that. Weave a circlet of healing in your hair, but when you must, you may arm yourself with the mace of the Spirit, which is God's word of your own value. I'll say that again specifically for our kids heading off to school and for our elders who in just a few minutes will be ordained and installed to service on the session. Tie the belt of your belovedness around your waist. Protect your heart with justice. Your shoes should sparkle with the good news and peace to all. Others may sling poison at you, but remember who and whose you are and trust in that. Weave a circlet of healing in your hair, but when you must, you may arm yourself with the mace of the Spirit, which is God's word of your own value. God's word of your own value. May we seek God's will graciously. May we learn safely. May we love each other bountifully. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
There's a brief litany to begin. There are varieties of gifts, but it is the same Spirit who gives them. There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served. God works through each person in a unique way, but it is God's purpose that is accomplished. Today we ordain and install ruling elders who begin their service on the session, and we recognize the elders who have completed their terms of service. This first part is addressed to Deb, Caitlin, Wes, Mark, and Stacy.
Having completed your service to the church as elders, we offer our deep thanks for your leadership, insight, and wisdom. Each of you has finished a specific task of discipleship in leading your church. We offer our gratitude as you return to the membership and pursue other ways of faithful service. While your specific tasks are ended, your discipleship and ordination to Christ your Lord continues. May God guide and keep you as you continue in your journey of faith and service as you seek to serve Him.
Let us pray for those who have rotated off the session. God, you call out from among the people leaders who will guide and direct our work on behalf of Christ our Lord, your Son. Look with favor upon the efforts which have been concluded, and open to these leaders more ways of faithful service to their congregation and to Christ their Lord. In His name we pray it. Amen. I would invite applause for those who have completed their terms of service and clap loud enough they can hear us on the live stream too. Now, Marilee, what are these folks doing up here?
On behalf of the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the session of Covenant Presbyterian Church now ordains Morgan Freeberg to the service of ruling elder. We install her to active service along with Ryan Albers and Carson Barker, who have been previously ordained. We also recognize the ordination of Adam Drake and Carson Barker during last year's pandemic and their installation along with ruling elder Pam Reese.
Morgan and Ryan and Carson, you were claimed in baptism by the love of God. You were clothed in the grace of Jesus Christ and anointed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit to share God's mission in the world. Now you are called by God through the voice of this church to new service and ministry in Jesus' name. So I ask you to answer these questions. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge Him Lord of all and head of the church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be by the Holy Spirit the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you?
Yes.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God?
Yes.
Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?
Yes.
Will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in councils of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
You please rise if able. Do we, the members of the church, accept Ryan Olivers, Karsten Barker, and Morgan Freeberg as ruling elders chosen by God through the voice of his congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? Do you? Do we agree to pray for them, to encourage them, to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do you? You may be seated.
And it is traditional at the time that we ordain and install that we lay hands upon those who are being ordained and installed. Those of you out there who have previously been ordained as elders, I invite you to raise a hand in blessing on these folks. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, with joy we give you all thanks and praise. Throughout the ages, you have been faithful to your covenant people, whom you have called out of bondage and redeemed to be your own. In every time and place, you have chosen servants from among your people to point the way to salvation. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon your servants, whom you have called through baptism as your own and marked as your own dear children. Grant them the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Give them a spirit of truthfulness, that they may show the compassion of Christ in the actions of daily living and rightly govern your people. Give them the gifts of your Holy Spirit to build up the church, to strengthen the common life of your people, and to lead with compassion and vision. In the walk of faith and for the work of ministry, give to your servants gladness and strength, discipline and hope, humility, humor, and courage, and an abiding sense of your presence. Gracious God, pour out your spirit of power and truth upon the whole church, that we may be for you a holy people, baptized to serve you in the world. Sustain this congregation in ministry. Ground us in the gospel. Secure our hope in Christ. Strengthen our service to the outcast and increase our love for one another. Show us the transforming power of your grace in our life together, that we may be servants of the gospel, offering a compelling witness in the world to the good news of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
You are now ruling elders in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.
Let's welcome these elders to their service. Welcome, welcome to this ministry.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.